Welcome to the Infotainment Podcast Initiating Startup Sequence.
Hi, my name is Randy, and the Infotainment Podcast will begin shortly. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. Let's get started. When Trump says the Chinese virus, I think he does it more out of anger. And I'm not gonna criticize him for that at all. Because it fucking started there. And the government should have released vital information to the globe earlier. You can call me a racist or whatever, but it started there. So, I'm not going to call him a racist or whatever. People can call me a racist if they want. I don't care. But who chose the name Corona? Maybe it just should just be renamed the China virus. Since it is disrupting the whole globe, why not give credit where credit is due? I do have some other information, though, about the COVID-19 virus. There have been some information that has been circulating around the internet, but it is false. The COVID-19 coronavirus disease pandemic of early 2020 has brought a raft of dubious and false medical advice about the prevention and treatment of the illness to the internet, among which was one widely circulated graphic advocating that persons exposed to the virus try gargling various substances to eliminate the virus and prevent it from reaching the lungs via the throat. Coronavirus, before it reaches the lungs, remains in the throat for 4 days. And at this time, the person begins to cough and have throat pains. If he drinks water a lot and gargling with warm and salt water or vinegar eliminates the virus, it does not spread this information because you can save someone with it. While gargling some combination of warm water, salt and vinegar has long been used as a means of relieving symptoms related to colds and flu, such as sore throats, there's no evidence that it can help ward off or drive out infections from the COVID-19 coronavirus disease. And although the virus is said to replicate in the nose and nasal secretions, we found nothing documenting the notion that the current coronavirus remains. So that was what the internet was saying, that it remained in the throat for 4 days. But now it's stating that there's no evidence that it remains in the throat for 4 days and can be effectively expelled at the conclusions of that time period to keep it from reaching the lungs. The incubation period for the virus, which is the time between when a person is exposed to the virus and when they start showing symptoms, has been estimated at about 5 days on average. Don't take my word for it. The World Health Organization website offers a page offering COVID-19 coronavirus disease advice for the public, which addresses the substance of this rumor in an item about rinsing nasal passages which are connected to the throat with saline. There is no evidence that regularly rinsing the nose with saline has protected people from infection with the new coronavirus, like using a neti pot, which I have before. There is some limited evidence that regularly rinsing the nose with saline can help people recover more quickly from the common cold. However, regularly rinsing the throat or rinsing the nose has not been shown to prevent respiratory infections. I want to clarify some things about that article. The regular gargling of substances such as salt and or vinegar and regular rinsing of the nasal passages is no effective treatment or prevention of this virus. So, what will the world look like after this? And what can we change for the better? We're not going back to normal after the coronavirus. Here is exactly how things need to change for good and for the better. This is one author's opinion. Today, there are no clues as to the danger lurking outside my front door, except for the eerie absence of people. Our lives are being restricted by a virus that is invisible to the naked eye, verging on abstraction, and yet is horribly real. Compare this to all the ways our lives are restricted by the many brutal rules, payments, and punishments of capitalism, which are now being revealed as actual fabrications that were subject to quick, substantive change all along. In other words, fake as hell. The difference is, we can't change the fact that the virus is attacking the human species. We can change the fact that capitalists are attacking human life too. From arbitrary data caps being suspended by internet providers to eviction bans to suddenly implemented protections for some workers, we are seeing that things we have long been told are impossible or unfeasible are suddenly okay. And as the estimates for how long our new world of social distancing will stretch, from weeks to months to a year, it's becoming more likely that when this is all over, we might not be able to return to normal, even if we wanted to. But why would we want to? It is clear that capitalism has failed us when people need support the most. The society we built on the premises of grift, waste, cruelty, and greed is not one that can survive even a moderate disruption like a nasty virus without mass casualties, wrecked lives, and bodies. What we urgently need now and for the next crisis is a society built more on resilience, solidarity, foresight, and compassion. At this critical moment, when anything feels possible, for good or for ill, we need to imagine how things can change for the better and to prevent future catastrophes. Almost nothing good comes to pass without mass struggle And so it would be naive to think that anything will happen just because it's plainly fucking obvious that it saves lives. Nobody knows what comes next, but it needs to be better than before. This is what it could look like. Last week, California Rep. Katie Porter questioned Robert Redfield, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, on the costs that uninsured Americans would face to get tested for coronavirus, $1,331 over the course of 5 minutes. Porter made Redfield agree to invoke a federal regulation that would let him and him alone waive the cost of testing. On March 13th, the House passed legislation to make testing free anyway, but the regulation that Porter's agreement signed on or hinged on could be applied to waive the person cost of any disease for any intervention, including testing, treatment, even transportation. It's easy to think of worthy diseases or medical bills with costs that the CDC could unilaterally cover en masse, especially when such illnesses pose a greater risk to the community at large than to a given individual. Inadequate testing has hampered America's response to the pandemic, but countries with universal access to health care have gotten it right. South Korea, for example, has tested hundreds of thousands of people, while the U.S. is lagging behind, but the cost and availability of COVID-19 testing is just a symptom of underlying problems in the U.S. healthcare system that the coronavirus is now laying bare. And the fact that pharmaceutical companies can raise prices on a whim, I think, is wrong. They should be required to jump through several hoops first on that. We've heard the refrain from one politician in particular, Senator Bernard Sanders, that healthcare is a basic human right. After the burden of the pandemic has lessened, we can and should scrutinize how our current system held up against single-payer systems in Britain or Australia, and then change it for good. Not only will this affect so much change in people's lives that American society may never be the same, but it will make us more resilient for the next crisis. Abolish ICE and prisons. When ICE determines whether to detain or release immigrants and asylum seekers, it uses a rigged algorithm that only returns one result, detain. Now, in the wake of COVID-19 pandemic, the tens of thousands of people this purposely broke system has sent to overcrowded detention facilities are facing a deadly virus that is about to spread rapidly through incarcerated populations across the U.S. Well, I don't. There are some people that need to be detained. This is one author's opinion. Let me state that loudly and clearly. Groups like the Immigration Rights Organization are calling for ICE to immediately cease its raid and arrest, which are enabled by technology provided by companies such as Palantir, Dell, and Microsoft. Even now, the immigration agency has continued business as usual, arresting people outside hospitals, while shopping for food, and even while picking up their kids from school. Now, I do think people should be here illegally. This is where I kind of part ways with this author. And he states, ICE is now a public health hazard forcing people into packed and unsanitary detention centers increases the risk of infection, meaning ICE is now actively endangering public health in its single-minded mission to arrest undocumented immigrants, reads an open letter that Mijente is sending to companies in light of the COVID-19 crisis. In other words, ICE is now a public health hazard. This is not unique to the immigration agency in prisons and jails, which are often overcrowded, unsanitary, and filled with people charged with nonviolent crimes. Well, I agree some of them should be released. Disease spreads rapidly through incarcerated populations. On Wednesday, New York's Rikers Island jail reported that two people, an inmate and a prison guard, had tested positive for the virus. Advocates have been warning for decades that our entire incarceration system is simply not built to promote the health and well-being of incarcerated people. And as medical experts have warned, what happens inside these facilities always quickly spreads to the surrounding communities. State and federal authorities are under pressure to dramatically reduce jail and prison populations. Several states, including Ohio and California, have begun releasing hundreds of people to slow the spread of the disease, and some prosecutors have begun declining to prosecute nonviolent offenses. But ultimately, as medical experts have noted over and over, the very structure and purpose of prisons and jails and the cops and prosecutors who fill them with human beings is anti-ethical to public health. Faced with an unprecedented health crisis, there has never been a more urgent time to donate your local bail fund and demand that elected officials empty prison cells before they're filled with dead bodies. Protect and empower labor. In the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, a few companies like Patagonia and REI have done the right thing and closed stores while continuing to pay workers in full. But millions of gig workers, contractors, temps, and fast food workers aren't so lucky. Many companies hoping to squeeze profits out of the pandemic stockpiling hysteria have kept their doors open and refused to provide the most basic protection like paid sick days, just to name a few. Amazon warehouse workers, Uber and Lyft drivers, Whole Food team members, GameStop and Best Buy retail workers will not have been offered paid sick leave unless they test positive for COVID-19 and may have continued to go to work even if they're sick or at high risk. One of the biggest takeaways from the coronavirus pandemic has been that all workers need paid sick leave, which should not be conflated with paid time off or vacation days, paid leave for parents and health care. Without these protections, everyone's safety and health is put at risk, particularly the most vulnerable members of our societies. Studies show that paying workers to stay home when they're sick substantially reduces the spread of the flu. Now more than ever, it's time to imagine a better world for workers, which we've seen glimpses this week with the expansion of sick leave benefits. Unfortunately, though, companies that have extended new benefits during the pandemic will roll those back when this comes to a close. And so real and lasting change for workers will need to take place on a systemic level with new benefits and protection for gig workers, franchise workers, contract workers, temps, and the service industry workers. These can be brought about with a robust union movement. Unionized workers are more likely to have paid leave, health care benefits, and lower deductibles. than their non-union counterparts. And politicians who are willing to fight for these changes at every level of government, a healthier climate. At the start of the decade, many environmentalists called for 2020 to be the year where global carbon emissions definitely decline. Now, thanks to a global pandemic, that's happening on a scale nobody could have imagined, and it feels like nothing to cheer. China, the world's largest carbon emitter, saw its carbon footprint shrink by a quarter in February as the nation took extreme measures to combat COVID-19, including significantly scaling back heavy industry. In hard-hit Italy, electricity demands and air pollution have both plummeted in recent weeks. The airline industry is in free fall and begging for bailouts. Yeah, and how much of that is going to trickle down to the regular employee? I would hate to think that most of that would stay at the top of the food chain in the airline industry, but who knows? There's nothing good about reducing emissions like this. In fact, if the 2008 and 2009 financial crash is any indicator, carbon could shoot right back up as soon as the crisis is over. As nations scramble to get their economies back on track, climate goals could fall by the wayside, especially if the price of oil remains low. But it doesn't have to be that way. Instead of going back to business as usual, governments can put climate at the center of their economic recovery plans. Future stimulus packages can include tax credits for renewable energy and electric vehicles, as well as massive investments in green infrastructure like energy storage facilities and EV charging stations. Bailouts for polluters can include stipulations that they cut emissions in line with what the science says is needed to stave off climate catastrophe. We did a lot of this in 2009, and the result, the economy bounced back. Right now, the climate concerns are taking a back seat to the public health crisis. That's a good thing, but as we start thinking about how to rebuild our lives in wake of this unprecedented upheaval, we're back to having an opportunity to do so in a way that prevents for far more deaths and suffering in the future. We'd be foolish not to take it. Now, I have been serious for almost 3 episodes, and I just can't take it anymore. No, I won't recite a toilet paper meme that I've seen about 1,000 of those. But I do have one. You'll never guess which state it's from, but it is from Florida. This commissioner, a Florida commissioner, says, well, it states that blowing a hairdryer up your nose won't kill coronavirus, despite what a Florida commissioner said. Doctors say home remedy could be dangerous. A Florida commissioner is backpedaling and apologizing after he suggested during a public meeting that breathing in the heat from a hairdryer could kill the coronavirus. Let's see. Okeechobee County Commissioner. It's probably a good name for that county. Bryant Culpepper said during an emergency session on Friday that he saw a video that's been circulating online claiming that the nasal passages are cool, but if you want to heat them up enough, the virus just falls apart and disintegrates. And this story is interrupted by a Ad for an article, do this to easily clean your toilet. Let's see, he states that you should hold a blow dryer in front of your face and you inhale with your nose and it kills all the viruses in your nose, Culpepper said. That sounds like a simplified way of doing things, but sometimes the cures for some of the diseases are very simple.
Oh my gosh, does that suck?
What a Tiffany Collins, an administrator of the Florida Department of Health in Okeechobee, was also present at the emergency meeting and was quick to discredit Culpepper's home remedy. There's a lot of misinformation on how to cure this disease, and I personally would just leave that to your medical provider. Amen to that. I've heard so much just sad information about how to cure this virus, Collins said. Culpepper has since taken to social media to apologize for his remarks. A verbatim excerpt is pasted below. He states, I am heartfully sorry for comments I made on social media. I was only trying to give comfort to those in Okeechobee who have no insurance to treat their families. I should have ignored the comments that I perceived as hateful and the embarrassment I caused to my fellow commissioners and our administrator and her staff, Culpepper wrote. According to the Associated Press, medical professionals have spoken out against the six-minute video circulating online inviting others to blow a hairdryer up their nose. The false claim is one of many around the new virus that doctors are actively trying to debunk. False, please don't. Our nose carries bacteria as part of normal flora. Those bacteria may get confused, tweeted Fahim Ioannis, who specializes in infectious diseases at the University of Maryland. The World Health Organization has said that hand dryers cannot kill the new coronavirus and noted that the virus can still be transmitted in hot and humid climates. I think that the professionals I've heard have said that there is no data regarding the changes in seasons that will help kill us either, but I suppose that may change. Dr. Jen Caudill, a family physician and associate professor at Rowan University in New Jersey, also confirmed that blowing hot air into the nose will not prevent or cure the new coronavirus. Depending on how hot the blow dryer gets, I would be concerned with some adverse effects, she said. Doctors like Ioannis and Caudill are using their social media platforms to debunk myths around the virus that has infected more than 200,000 people worldwide. Oh my God. Why would someone's brain even think to say that unless they have medical proof to? Oh my God. Yeah, let's just shove a blow dryer right in front of our nostrils and maybe we could have some company invent the tiny heating pads to stick up our nostrils. And then there was the one where if you gargle with certain substances, that'll help prevent or cure the virus. No, that won't. Using a neti pot and cleaning the nasal passages is not going to work either. Also, I do have, let me get to that. Well, here we have a story that I did about one of these spring breakers that made a very stupid comment. As Florida coronavirus's cases surge, spring breakers express regret, as they should. They are expressing regret, but some say the government wasn't clear enough in their message to practice social distancing. The clip went viral. And I stated what this kid said. If I get corona, I get corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let this stop me from partying. Brady Slutter, a spring breaker in Miami, said last week, probably a few weeks ago, but still stupid even today. Now, as the United States is at about 55,000 cases of the coronavirus, including more than 780 deaths, and is on track to become the new epicenter of the pandemic, he has revised his message. Don't be arrogant and think you are invincible like myself. On Monday, Slutter posted a lengthy apology on his Instagram, first reported by the Cincinnati Inquirer, in which he said he wasn't aware of the severity of his actions. Of course, the 22-year-old from Milford, Ohio, has elderly people in his life whom he adores. He didn't want to put anyone at risk. Now he understands how serious the virus is and is encouraging people to follow the recommended guidelines on how to stay safe and reduce risk. Most of all, he's sorry. Go with Slutter's apology comes as more and more people are focusing their attention on how young people are responding to the virus, with the term COVIDiot, it's a pretty good term, being used to describe some actions, especially since the news broke that at least 6 University of Tampa students tested positive after returning from spring break and catching the virus. After initial reports that young people are largely unaffected by the disease, it's increasingly clear that they are not only affected by the virus, but can also get very sick from it, even fatally so. It leaves many wondering, are spring breakers like Slutter to blame for their previous blasé attitude, or is it more the fault of governments for not communicating the severity of the situation? David Anzaruth, who is recovering from COVID-19, a disease caused by the coronavirus, went to Miami in early March for a vacation. 10 days later, the 25-year-old from Toronto was in a hospital emergency room with the virus, feeling the most incredible pain that I have ever experienced, according to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Anzaruth, who declined further comment to NBC News but said through a spokesperson he is feeling well, said he regrets going. The coronavirus, he said, was definitely on everyone's mind, but at the time we thought, let's not lose all this money. I myself have been needing a vacation. There's no one to blame. I understand that I put myself into a place where I risked my health, he told the CBC. But Molly, a student at University of Pittsburgh, who asked that only her first name be used, think it's more complicated than that. Like Slutter, Molly went to Florida 2 weeks ago on spring break. When she left, nobody she knew was talking about the virus. Then on March 13th, while she was in Florida, a national emergency was declared. My friends and I all freaked out, Molly said. They decided to be low-key for the rest of the trip, avoiding clubs and crowded sections of the beach. Scheduled to go home the next day, Molly felt like a day or two wouldn't make a difference and didn't have the extra money to book a last-minute flight. Now she has second thoughts about the whole trip. As cases in Florida continue to rise, Molly feels fine but lives with her sister, who works with the public and is worried about being an asymptomatic carrier. She saw Slaughter's video and said she has a lot of feelings about it. She felt it was really arrogant and selfish, but said most people are ignorant and selfish, especially at like 18 to 22 years old. At the time of the video, I don't think most people were considering the gravity of the pandemic, and I think that needs to be taken into account before we shame and ridicule these people, Molly said. Instead, they were probably thinking about the money they'd sunk into the trip and the break they had been looking forward to for weeks or months, she said. Michael Arsenault took Molly's point one step further in his piece for NBC News Think, titled Young People Didn't Social Distance Because the Government Kept Telling Them Not to Worry. Yeah, in Florida, they didn't take it very seriously right at the start. And then we're seeing an upsurge in cases in Florida, I noticed, when they were showing a map the other night. Arsenault said he joined the nation in the booing and hissing after watching the clips of people like Slaughter continuing to party on spring break, but says they are not to blame. The disease is spreading because the people in power, largely old white men, have failed the nation by not properly preparing for its effects in spite of dire warnings, he wrote. Florida came under sharp criticism for its refusal to close its beaches as other states were shutting down non-essential businesses if public health officials and governors weren't telling students to stay off the beaches. Why should people have known better? At that point, Arsenault argued leaders had given them no real reason to give a damn. Still, Abby Acolia, a 19-year-old college student in New Jersey, thinks the students in Florida could have shown more restraint. Her spring break on the Jersey Shore was more low-key since she and her friends tried to stay inside the house they rented. We made the best of that, Acolia said. Well, that was a smart move there. Acolia and her friends left the house sometimes, but said that whenever they did, it was so deserted it felt eerie. She was unhappy when she saw the video of the spring breakers on the beach and felt like they were being foolish. Well, that's kind of an understatement, but true. They didn't seem to care, she said. Yeah, and now Florida's paying for it. But in the end, people, do not stick a hairdryer near your nostrils to try and cure or prevent this virus. Oh my God, I can't believe a position like that would even come up with that. But what a COVIDiot. But now I think it's time to call Reed Alert. New Star Trek Enterprise fans will get that reference. And now we will warp drive this to the interwebs for your podcast perusal. And I wish everyone a happy day today and a happy ending tonight. Stay safe out there. Keep up the social distancing. I may do it even after our president says we should reopen the economy, which will undoubtedly spike the numbers of cases and deaths because of the asymptomatic people who have not been tested. But, well, we got to get the economy started. So that's the way it goes. Until next time, keep downloading and listening to Infotainment for the latest news. Bye-bye, folks. We'll be right back.